Welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Greg Duncan. And before I introduce you to my two co-hosts here, who are making me feel very small, I first want to say this is coming to you on Veterans Day. And as a veteran, my son's in the reserves and ROTC. My son-in-law is in the Navy. I just want to thank you. You guys, your service and your sacrifice, hard for us to say more than just thank you. On to the show, Josh Garverick.
Greg Duncan.
tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, I am a team lead at a private health insurance company, and I am responsible for performing a DevOps transformation at the moment, moving all of our stuff from on-prem to the cloud, and instilling the right people, process, and technologies to get that accomplished.
Really useful,
yeah. Yeah, right? Channeling my inner Donovan Brown. in my night job, I am an MVP in Visual Studio and Development Technologies, specifically ALM, and have been for 2 years.
Awesome. My other co-host, Gordon Beaming, who's been on the show before. You saw him 2 years ago when we were at the Microsoft Garage, and then they had the big Kinect Cube thing on it.
That was great fun.
Yeah. Introduce.
Cool. Yeah, so as Greg said, I'm Gordon. My job title is a software developer at a company called Dorifco in South Africa. But I sometimes develop software.
Mm-hmm.
And then mostly other times support production and manage our CFS infrastructure at our company.
Cool.
Yeah.
So wait, you're a full-time developer on-prem doing that stuff. You're a full-time developer on-prem doing stuff. I'm a full-time developer on-prem doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're like the atypical MVPs, yeah. Aren't we?
And just like you, I'm also fighting the Jira contest.
You can't bring that up. I'm not bringing that up. You don't want to see Greg start venting.
Just start out the words Jira.
Can we bleep those?
Yeah,
no, anyway.
You should.
So the three of us are here on campus for the MVP Summit. And we can't tell you a lot about it because we're not allowed to. But what do you guys think? Has this been a good summit? Was it good coming up here for like the entire week? We've been doing this stuff since Sunday.
Yeah, and I say, each year that I've been here, it's been better than the last just based on the experiences that I've had, the interactions with the product group, being able to actually help, give feedback and set some direction for certain areas of the product. And it's just, you don't get that opportunity anywhere else.
So is the product group then, are they lecturing or are they interacting?
No, it's very much interaction.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they would survive if they try to do the lecturing thing.
Yeah.
Some pretty strong personalities, I think might be the right word in our group. I love it here. I was just thinking the other day that our week is tough. Everyone else, they have like 1 or 2 days of content. And we have most of Sunday with our MVP to MVP stuff for the LM guys. And then every other day we're doing 8 to 6. And when we leave and there's no one else, yeah. So, yeah, the content's amazing. It's always great to interact with the guys that are making our jobs easier, I guess.
Right. Yeah, to laugh at that strong personalities. Brian Randall was my host last year.
Yeah.
And I think one of rememberable quotes was, "Hey, you Scrum guys, leave him alone and let him finish presenting." So, the spirited debates is very interesting.
Yeah, it all comes from a good place.
Right. Yeah. So, if you were an MVP,
yeah. So, there's recently they announced a new program. Mm-hmm. Similar to the MVP program for ex-MVPs. And the sort of the idea behind the program is that sort of when you're no longer an MVP, obviously having been an MVP, you can still provide sort of value to the product team if you want. So it's sort of you could almost think of it as a program for retired MVPs, if that's the right word.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I like calling it the MVP alumni program, but I got totally shut down and people thought I was an idiot when I said that. But so the question though is when, so when you become an MVP, are you an MVP for forever? Or is it something that you have to recertify, renew, re-up every year?
I mean, you definitely have to keep the community content going. You have to stay engaged and you have to make sure that you meet that so that you can, you know, get renewed and continue the awesome journey that is being an MVP.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the big benefits of being an MVP is summits, and I'm not sure if the Reconnect program has an invite to summit. So I mean, that alone is like so worth like any contribution.
So before MVP Reconnect, once you were not renewed for MVP, you were just out. You were done.
Yeah.
But now the program is that if you're an MVP now, you'll always be an MVP, but it's either MVP or MVP Reconnect. So once you're part of that community, you have the option to stay in part of the community for life. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So everything was NDA here, but what if we were to try to give somebody a hint? Give our viewers out there a hint as to what they should be doing next week.
They should be tuning in for Connect. Absolutely. Just the amount of stuff that we've gone through in our group, and I know all the other groups have done similar things, there's going to be a lot of really great and exciting things announced next week. So tuning in on the 16th. This starts streaming at 9:45 Eastern, and it'll bring you all the good bits.
And it's 3 days now.
Yeah.
Well, they extended it.
Yeah. They just re-added a day 3 for training.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. So, you're going to hear a lot of announcements at Connect.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, all these type of events, they're always quite late at night for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing staying up for them. I mean, when things like Build come, and now Connect's an extra day, so that will be harder.
Right.
I don't know. Are they streaming all 3 days? Do you know?
Yeah.
So what usually happens then is I get very little sleep for that time because it's day job and then watch Connect, watch Build, watch Ignite through the night.
So you can live stream it or catch it on demand later.
Yeah, but on demand's like it's so yesterday. Like I don't want to watch it the next day. Like I want to be engaged while these things are happening. Like tweeting this just announced this coolness. Look at this blog post. Like I want to get that stuff out there. The next day is just not the same.
Right. And Scott Guthrie, Scott Hanselman, they'll all be there. And you know, you haven't seen his presentation unless you've seen Scott do something.
That's very true.
So we're all ALM MVPs, even though we're not really called that anymore.
Yeah, we Visual Studio, Technologies, something.
Our badges, but,
something like that.
We had news.
Yeah, so they delivered an update to service recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very lightweight deployment. I think the reason for that's most likely they're busy getting stuff ready for the Dev 15 drop of TFS.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they have a very fast cadence. So they deploy to service every 3 weeks. Although Brian Harry did announce that they will be only doing one more deployment for the rest of this year, sort of going into the seasonal time. So basically, if you want to do any demos and stuff, it's time to do it because
it's the time to write your book now. It's time to write your articles because you know for a few months at least
that the UI is going to look the same.
Yeah.
Everything's going to function the same. But yeah.
Didn't you recently move to VSTS?
I did. Yes. Went through the on-prem to VSTS conversion experience.
Uh-huh.
And glad to say, knock on anything that is wood or slightly resembles wood, that everything has been in really great shape.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Lee Stott just did a post. Yeah, I totally froze up there. It's like, I had a brain freeze. speaking of VSTS, if you guys haven't used it, if you haven't looked at it, it's free for up to 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get your own in the cloud, TFS, VSTS, with work item tracking, code, build, release. It's all there and it's all free. Lee Stott, who does did a UK educational series of posts, did a getting started with VSTS posts. Mm-hmm. And if you've been looking at it, if you've been thinking about it, it's a great post. And we'll have the links in the show notes for that. Speaking of TFS, speaking of radio TFS, did you see the? Not a shameless plug for our podcast, but Martin Woodward, who is the executive director for the .NET Foundation, just did a 53-minute video podcast here on Channel 9 talking about the great stuff coming from the .NET Foundation. Again, you'll hear a lot more about that at Connect, but if you've not seen Martin speak or listen to one of our podcasts, this is a good one to go check out.
Yeah, I mean, .NET Foundation is awesome. It was a little while ago that they announced that like Microsoft's now the top contributor across GitHub. Like, if you had told me about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, that, hey, Microsoft's going to be top contributor in sort of the open world, I was like, no, man. that's not possible. That's not Microsoft. Right. Yeah, things have changed. It's awesome to see.
So, future in the web.
Yeah.
Contests and stuff.
Yeah, so I like doing stuff very, I don't know what the right word is. Maybe performance the right word, maybe complicated the right word. Words like job security come to mind.
So you don't like bigly, you like smally.
Yeah.
We'll make up our own words.
Pretty much like that.
Anything's fair game.
So I think this, so they've announced winners for a 10K competition. So if you don't know what that is, it's basically they had a competition for JavaScript to write an app in under 10 kilobytes. To me, that would be a small Hello World app, maybe. it's quite interesting to see some of the stuff that came out of that. Mm.
And next up, we've got...
That was a good segue there.
I know.
Kind of screwed that up, didn't you? I totally threw you under the bus there. I'm setting up Gordon with all of these, but to Josh, it's all like, yeah.
I could smell the exhaust from the bus as it was coming out. Knocked me over, so that's good. So Microsoft is now open by default. So Miguel talks about how Microsoft is very open to things and how... His work at Xamarin has been the longest interview process known to man, essentially. You know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but there's a great deal of emphasis being put on the open source community and being involved in that community. You know, like Gordon mentioned earlier, Microsoft being the top contributor to repos on GitHub. I mean, that's huge. So. It's good to see a lot of traction in that community because it's so rich and so vibrant. So,
and I thought that was interesting because this was on Forbes. Mm-hmm. You know, Forbes having a Microsoft is now open by default, says Miguel. It's like, wow, that's an interesting article.
That's a bold statement.
And speaking about open, our friends at Infogistics, our friends, my friends, not Microsoft's friends. Well, there's Microsoft's friends, I guess.
I think.
They're our friends. We had beers with them.
We did.
The other night.
Microsoft's friends with everyone now, let's be honest.
That is a very good point, isn't it? So what they did is Infogistics released their Ignite UI to as open source. So now you can get all of that goodness that is in Ignite and all the package management solutions that you're used to, NPN, Bower packages, it's all there. It's all on GitHub. If you've been looking for that kind of tool, then that's the place to get it.
Give me something to check out. So everyone loves Azure, right? And you can do some pretty incredible things with Azure. So our next article is about connected drones.
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of IoT pumping metrics into Azure. A whole bunch of machine learning doing crazy stuff with that, and a whole bunch of Terminators coming connected to all
so
that
stuff.
So this
is baby Skynet, Skynet Junior?
Pretty much, yeah. I think, yeah.
Skynet V0.
Yeah, this is the inception moment, I think. This is not good.
The type of things that guys are doing, like, it's really insane. Like, for me, it's like, it's super crazy, but this is scary at the same time. It's like, you can do that. Like, Really? Just like that?
Yeah, I thought drones were all just the hand-controlled, I've got stuff that I really can't fly, and I run into the wall and destroy.
Yeah, it's like,
but these are like real-world drones, mm-hmm. all connected to Azure, all using the machine learning intelligence behind it.
Yeah, I don't know, I think incredible is just the only word for that.
Like, right.
And I mean, they're doing real-world stuff with these drones. It's not just, hey, here's a pet project and go fly my drone somewhere.
Right. Wow. So I don't know who picked these stories and assigned them, besides me. So you got the cool Azure drone machine learning stuff. And Josh, you got the visual guide to the best hacker t-shirts.
I did. And
I don't know which one of those is better and cooler.
You know, it's really a matter. It's a matter of perspective.
Right.
You know, if you're into machine learning and into things that are, you know, controlled by, you know, remote algorithms, or if you're into, you know, really sweet t-shirts, you pick your poison, man. I mean, we've got it all here, so I have you to thank, really.
Okay. Really. Oh yeah.
I mean, think about it. You can't take the sweet drone home with you, right? But you can take a t-shirt.
Oh, there you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You got that right.
So what's this story about?
So essentially it's about the different types of t-shirts that you can make, you can procure, you know, everything that is t-shirt.
So it's a visual guide to like hacker and t-shirts.
Exactly. Awesome. So I believe the statement in here is essentially like it's a canvas that you wear. Right, and that could be interpreted any number of ways, realistically. But yeah, so it's an interesting read, mm-hmm. you know, for those of us who are fashion savvy.
So this site, I just loved this site. I don't know why. Maybe it's cause just the user interface. Thinking like, you know, the whole world's command line interface now. So like a command line interface website, music for programming. How cool is that? Would I actually listen to it? Probably not, because I like heavy metal when I'm coding for some reason. It's kind of strange, but we'll have the links in the show notes. Kind of, you know, very hard to find, musicforprogramming.com. All right, now, it's pick of the week's time. Woo, woo, Josh.
So my pick of the week is a piece on Dev Test Labs. And it's a perfect.
What is Dev Test Labs?
Dev Test Labs is an offering in Azure that allows you to provision machines for the use of development or for special test cases or, mm-hmm. or anything that really requires kind of a monitored environment.
Okay. Right?
So, for a good example of that would be for developer VDI. So people who want to spin up developer boxes for their staff to, mm-hmm. to work on. That's one really good use case for it. And there's a case here. Where Lee Stott has an article about spinning it up for, you know, an institution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a university or any kind of public institution where, you know, it makes sense to have Dev Test Labs manage those resources for you.
So it's not just a bunch of VMs that are templated, but it's an entire environment meant mm-hmm. for dev and test type labs.
Wow. Absolutely. And it gives you a lot of good resources around resource management.
Uh-huh.
It gives you auto off. An auto on, so if you want to actually time them to come on at a certain time or shut off at a certain time, or both.
Right.
Yeah, that could save you quite
cool.
a lot of cash.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I often leave VMs on the whole night. It started off a good idea. Let's just use this bigger than instance I have credits for. And then the next morning, it's like, my sites are down.
Yeah, if you do it correctly, you can realistically pay for about 20 to 25% of the capacity of the compute instead of, you know, the 100%. So.
Awesome.
That's my pick.
Awesome. Gordon.
Yeah, so I love dev stuff. I love extending other people's products because mm-hmm. for some reason when someone owns a product, they can never just do everything right.
Or you're just really picky.
Yeah. It could be that.
Constructively dissatisfied.
There you go. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, over the last while, like the extensibility inside VSTS and TFS has grown dramatically. Like
mm-hmm.
You can, I think there's like an extension pointer everywhere.
Right.
I mean, the product team themselves have been saying how they're building their own features on top of their own extensibility model, which is really great. And now they're starting to bring some of that goodness into Visual Studio.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've ever, like something that I've found a couple times is after a little while, Visual Studio gets slow, right?
Right, right.
And then you like ping the product team, oh, my stuff's slow. Send us the list of stuff. And they're like, you know, you have like 30 extensions installed, right? And that could be why it's taking so slow. So like, can I go uninstall, disable a whole bunch of extensions? Huh, it's fast. My SSD is not that slow.
Right.
So one of the things I'm really, well, what I really like from, about their posts, they're adding in monitoring for how long extensions take to start up.
Okay.
So you'll be able to go in there and say, oh, this extension that I really like slows down my startup by 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So then basically work out if the having the awesome, I don't know, font.
Right.
I found an interesting one that did explosions. So I just did it because it was cool. I was so unproductive for like the 2 weeks I had it installed. So basically, as you're busy coding, it's busy doing particle explosions over your dev editor. It was amazing.
Nice.
And then like every time you click, it does like a ripple. It was awesome. But something like that really has, I mean, you wouldn't think it, but it has a performance impact. And now they're sort of bringing that to the surface, saying like, these are running slow. Okay. Something similar to what Outlook does. So have the plugins in Outlook, and then you're like, hey, where's my tab gone? It's like, oh no, we disabled this because it was ruining your experience. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Awesome. And my pick of the week, Scrum is 21.
Is it really?
Scrum is 21 years old.
Wow.
And I did not I knew it because I've been doing it for forever, but I just did not realize that it's old enough to drink now. That's
pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 5 when Scrum was born.
Nice.
La la la. Can we delete that part?
Maybe slightly older than that.
Yeah. So that was it. And that's the show. And Josh, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it. Gordon, thank you again for coming on. And thank you for watching.
Yeah.